You may be seated.
Peace of the Lord be with you.
Awesome.
Whoa. A couple announcements as we begin. Hey, that was impressive. Today is the last day for you women to sign up for small groups at the Keppel House. If anyone is interested in thinking already about spring service projects in the spring to serve, a mission trip, and if you would like to be a leader, check out grow.hope.edu for an application for leadership. I also want you to know that next Tuesday night at our house, 79 West 13th Street, if anyone's interested in being part of the pre-seminary society, we've got kind of an open house and free pizza. If all of you show up, let us know, because we'll have to get more chairs. What's going on? It's Friday. Can I share one little trivia story from last night? It was a big night for me last night. I was sleeping. It was somewhere around, like, I don't know, 2:30, 2:35. It was early. And I was asleep, and all of a sudden, I get this little jar. And I wake, and Kristen's like, "Drake, come here. And little T's on the bed, and he's smiling. It's his first smile. My boy can smile. Because I think he knows it's Friday. It's early in the year, and it's a time to begin at the beginning, and we're in Genesis, but it's also time to share some certain words, certain language, certain presuppositions that are important to me. You'll sometimes hear me say something like, "Come with me into the wide open country of salvation," because I believe that the country of salvation is a real place, and I think it is a place that with the eyes to see and the ears to hear, we participated in it right now. You might hear me say something like, "There's no such thing as the spiritual life. There's just life. All of life is spiritual." And I believe that because of the opening words of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth get merged. The heavens and the earth is all of God's domain. There's no such thing as this duality between your spiritual life and your ordinary life. You got kind of God in a box. God is over here, and your social life is over here, and your scholastic and scholarship and study life is over here, and your family. No, it's just your life. God cares about all of it. Or sometimes you'll hear us talking about something like growing world Christians in the soil of hope. Growing world Christians in the soil of hope is part of the language of our campus ministry team. It's part of what we might call our mission. You'll see this often when you come into chapel and the slides are turning around. And this morning, I just want to walk through and exegete, translate what this means to us as a team and what we're doing. First, we want to talk about growing. This is taken from Psalm 1. "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the paths that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, whose leaf never withers, and in all that they do they prosper." Growing implies a connection to a place. Growing takes patience. Growing requires a submission in the long rhythms between light and darkness. In other words, growing doesn't happen overnight. To commit to growing requires patience. And your growth as a human being, male and female, requires growth. But the thing about growth is it's a mystery. None of us can make growth happen. That's God's jurisdiction. I can't make you grow. You can't make me grow. The best that we can do is provide the right conditions for growth. But if we provide some of those right conditions, I believe with all of my heart, you will grow deeper in order to grow taller. That spirals to the light. You will grow. But grow into what? We want to invite you to grow into what we call world Christians. Growing world Christians. What does that mean? It means that we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. It means that we believe fundamentally that God loves this world, loves it so much that he took the time to put on flesh, to walk in among us, to die for this world so that this world might be saved, To be a world Christian takes all of everything in the world seriously, which is why we're here, to take this world seriously. We don't need more enthusiasm. We need more wisdom. We need a place where we take all of the things of culture, all of the things that humans have made, and take it seriously in the context of Christ. Growing world Christians is an invitation to take what God takes seriously. The world, the globe, and everything in it, every culture, every people. To be a world Christian is sometimes what we call at Hope to be part of the historic Christian faith. That in all times and in all places that there is a connection between Christians. We want to support and encourage what we call a generous orthodoxy. Meaning that at Hope there are people from every tribe and language in the Christian family. Greek Orthodox and Catholic and Protestant, Baptist and Reformed and Methodist and Pentecostal. All of the kingdom, we want to be represented here. We call it a kingdom vision, but we want world Christians to be connected by what connects world Christians. What Andrew Walls describes as the historic Christian faith is a commitment to Scripture, a commitment to Christians having a participation in bread and wine and water, the Lord's Supper and baptism, a commitment that the covenant of Israel is still playing itself out in the living church, that our identity and our story is connected back all the way to Genesis, to this tribe of Israel. And fundamentally, what connects world Christians, what gives them such a large circumference, is a center. And it is the conviction and the confession that Christ is Lord, that this person, Jesus Christ, has ultimate significance for all things in the world and all cosmos. To be a world Christian believes that the gospel is not merely just about our private salvation. It is not merely having an insurance card to get you out of hell. It is having a vision and a passion and a purpose to participate in the ongoing work of reconciliation at all times and in all places, in and through the person of Jesus Christ. To be a world Christian takes fundamentally the confession that Christ is Lord, and that right now Jesus Christ is on the throne. Right now, Jesus Christ is still interceding for us, praying for us, pouring out his Spirit on us to recreate us so that we might go north and south and east and west to be formed in the image of Christ for the world and in the world is what being a world Christian is all about. But that doesn't happen in abstraction. That happens in a place, which we pick up the word soil. To grow requires a place. You can't grow in abstraction. You need a geography. We'll talk a little bit about this more Sunday night. But we need a soil. And we got to make that soil healthy. Because if the soil is unhealthy, nothing grows. If the soil isn't nurtured, if it isn't tended, the weeds will choke the life out of living things. We got to take this place seriously. You know, I have this conversation every year at some point in the year where somebody has an experience that says, I got to transfer or I got to quit school because I got to go do something practical. All of this study isn't helping me. I got to go out and serve the world. I want to go be a world Christian someplace. But you know what the world needs? The world needs a generation that has wisdom, that takes the opportunities that you have in this soil to learn and to deepen and to develop your intellect and your gifts, to take seriously history and philosophy and politics and sociology and biology and all the ologies, all of them, because all of it is a product of this world, and you have an opportunity that is unique in this soil to root yourself deep, so that 10, 20, 30 years from now, the decisions and the commitments you make right now will participate in that wide open country of salvation. We want you to grow as world Christians in the soil of hope. Of hope. And of course, we mean this as intentionally as a double image. The soil of hope is our institution, our beloved alma mater, Hope College, established by a work of God in 1866. This place, is your place. You're my people. I'm your people. And this place, Hope College, is where we need to be rooted in. But of course, rooted in hope is something larger. To be rooted in hope is to be rooted in the fundamental vision and imagination of God. God is always working out hope, meaning that tomorrow can be different than today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about recreation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about hope, which is why we can never tolerate at Hope College, in our institution, cynicism. Cynicism has nothing to do with the gospel. We need to be discerning, yes. But cynicism kills hope, and we need a generation of hope that will be rooted in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rooted in a gospel of reconciliation that will take seriously all of the world, and this is our time, and this is our place to do that. The campus ministry team wants to invite us into a long obedience in that wide open country. We want to invite you to take this opportunity, not merely to be a pipeline to privilege, but to be on a path that is narrow, that will lead to wisdom, that will allow you to be like that tree planted by streams of water where your leaf will never wither, and in that all you will do, you will prosper. Amen? Pray with me. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us revelation. Give us your insight. Above all, pour on your Spirit. Pour your Spirit upon us. Recreate us in your image, that we might participate in your life. Give us the conviction and the faith and the hope and the love to say no to sin and to say yes to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of hope said, amen. Go and enjoy your soil.